the next 3 hours of my life are brought to you by the LSU Ag Center. I'm pretty entertained by Yidong Song's name. I won't take all that they hand me down. And make out a smile, though I will frown. And I'm not gonna take it all lying down. Cause once I get started, I go to town. Cause I'm not like everybody else. 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 What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, the one and only Billy Gunn, here on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. Very excited to be joining you again to talk about a favorite topic of mine, which is going to be the UFC and also some football as well. Along with a very good friend of the pod, has been on the show. How many times have you been on the show?
I think this is number three.
Okay, I thought you'd been at least twice. Yeah. Good friend of the show, from representing the Shalmation Nation. Ben, what's up, man?
Oh, man. As I always am, I'm living the dream, as they say.
Dream.
Some days it's a nightmare, but, you know, hey, man, for today it's a dream. So we're going to... I'm excited, man. We're talking USC, which is I got one of my favorite fighters fighting, and some NFL starting tonight. So good day, man. Good day to be alive.
I hear that, dude. I feel the same way. I want to say that it's one of your favorite fighters. This is one of my favorite. The fight we're going to talk about in the card we're going to talk about tonight is one of my favorite opportunities. Like, there's an exploit here. This is going to be a very, very, very good bet tonight on that exact fight featuring Derek Lewis versus Ciryl Gane. So, I mean, I'm really excited to talk about that. And so that's just going to lead into the rest of the UFC. And like I said, some football and some, you know, just got to do a little bit of take care of some old business first, new business, you know, get through all of it. Ben, do you live in Mandeville?
I do. I live in Mandeville, yes.
So I'm As now, you know. I've been in Mandeville for like 2 months.
Yep.
It's a place, man.
It is. It's okay. You know, it's not Chalmette, but it's okay.
It's not Chalmette. It's not Slidell either.
It's not. Not as much action.
I feel like Slidell Joe Dirt, dude, when I go to my local Walgreens.
Yeah, I got. I was talking to one of my coworkers today, and her husband is growing out his mullet, and he has him some of those shades that you have as well. So,
good.
Yep, good. He's from like, you know, like Podunk Country, Georgia, somewhere.
I like and it. Yeah,
He's actually living in Slidell, so he fits in. So.
Oh yeah, no Slidell, you get no problem with that.
No second looks. It's just normal.
Mandeville's different, dude.
Mandeville is definitely different.
I'm trying to embrace it.
That's all you can do, man. You just embrace it, and you know what? Hey, whatever, man. People don't like the mullet. They can turn their head the other way.
I'm not even talking about the mullet. I'm just talking about everything.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you definitely living in one of the higher dollar areas in the state for sure.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, I'm rolling around in my Elantra, and they got like three cars. Three cars on side of me. One's a Benz, one's a Range, and one's a Beamer. You know, so
a lot of $90,000 SUVs.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's get right into it. I want to talk about the UFC 265 card.
Yes. All right.
Ben, is it fair to say that you like to wager a little bit on UFC from time to time?
I wager way too much than I should. Let's just put it that way. So the last few times, the way I coax my wife into watching it with me is to have her, you know, pick some of the bets, right?
Ooh,
we'll just wait right up to the fight starts. She'll look at both of them. I like this guy, and like she's picking at like an 80% clip, dude. Ridiculous.
She's gonna probably. That's the thing that people don't get. you know, like you have your wife pick some, and it's fun. And I'm saying, I was expecting you to say like easily 55% or 60%.
No, no, it's insane how good she is at just picking the fight. Now, granted, a lot of times she picks the favorite, you know, and I don't tell her, I don't tell her what the lines are or anything like that. I just say, hey, pick who you think is going to win this fight. And I promise you, dude, it's crazy how well she picks these fights just based on looks.
Hmm. That's so interesting. I'll tell you, I'm going to have my cat pick some games this year, every week.
I mean, you know,
and we're
going to
record it and we're going to put it on Twitter at Taking Me Over.
That is great, because I mean, honestly, some days they you know, the cat would probably pick better than I would.
The cat's going to beat at least half the people,
I would say,
yeah. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
There's a lot of, I mean, look, I enjoy betting on fights. My strategy, and I do have a strategy when it comes to betting on fights, basically usually looks like this. And if you listen to the last podcast that we fully dedicated to a UFC card, I gave an outlandish underdog to win, you know, and he didn't. But the smart thing was, earlier in the card, we also picked out a couple bets that I was very, 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 very confident in that you knew would more than cover the stupid bet that you made on the underdog in the main event, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a firm believer in the Billy Gunn method, and I know everybody, all your hardcore gambling gurus, Ben, they all have like, what's your system? Well, what system do you use? This is I have a lot of systems, and they're all in my head. They ain't Excel docs or spreadsheets that are going to figure this shit out, okay? The Billy Gunn UFC betting method is a smart bet to support a stupid bet.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Right. And I always have success with that. And I don't come away from fight nights down, losing money or having a bad night, because it typically works out. And I always encourage, if you're going to bet UFC, bet a few fights. Don't just bet one. Bet a few fights, bet a few overs, unders, outcomes. I strongly recommend you try that. You just bet one, you got a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, that's not, I don't like those odds. I like betting multiple as well. So I'm on that same train with you. I don't necessarily have a system. I'm knowledgeable enough, because I pretty much watch UFC every time it comes on. So I'm knowledgeable enough to know what's going on, like who's been winning, who's been losing, what they look like, that kind of stuff. So there's a few of them on here where I'm like, okay, that is for sure gonna happen. And then there's other ones, like, you know, there's some toss-ups on this card that I'm like, ugh, man, I don't know what I would do on that one. So it's definitely multiple bets on this card for me as well. And that's typically the way we do it, you know, especially if I'm sitting there with my wife, we'll probably bet on every fight just about.
Oh, good.
You know, I won't bet big, except on the ones that I'm like really, really confident in. And then we'll just kind of throw like $25 on a fight here, $25 on one there, something like that, you know?
You ever notice when people tell me that they make bets or they bet more, it makes me excited. Makes me you're like, when you said, no, we pretty much bet on every fight.
Yeah.
I just got that Jack Nicholson gif in my head going, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, from The Departed.
Yeah, that's what Vegas is doing. They're like, bring me my money.
I love it.
Yep.
So where shall we start, man? There's some, you know, there's some fun on the undercard of this one.
There is. There's some good ones, man. The first one that popped out to me, and this is the lock that I have, was the Alonzo Minifield versus Ed Herman. I mean, if you're an old UFC guy, you know who Ed Herman is. Yeah, so Ed Herman is what's his nickname is the Lights. No, it's not Lights Out. It's Short Fuse Ed Herman. And Ed Herman's been around the UFC for like a decade and a half, I want to say.
Very long
like that.
Time. Very long time.
And he has not looked good in his past. I mean, his last few fights, he's not looked good, but he's like a serviceable UFC fighter. So I'm all over Alonzo Minifield on this fight. Right now, I'm looking at him right now at -250. I'm going heavy on Alonzo Minifield to beat Ed Herman.
So how many units are you going to place at 250? I mean, what you got? That's a little juice there. You know,
it's a lot more juice than I like to give up.
Okay,
on something like that, but I feel really, really, really good about it.
All right.
So I'll probably lay a couple hundred on that one. That's probably nice. That's where I'm leaning my big bet on these fights.
So you're betting a couple hundred to win.
To win. So if
at minus 250.
So I'll win $80, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Ben, I'm gonna agree to not bet alongside you on Ed Herman, Alonzo Minifield. But there is a wager on this specific fight that I like. See, Ed Herman has been around for a very long time, and he's actually coming off several wins.
Has he?
Yes. And in these wins, he's been doing something that I've seen more and more vets do in the UFC here lately, is come out against a hot, you know, prospect and let that guy wear himself out and make it through the initial surge, which I think, you know, look, there's going to be an initial surge. Ed Herman's either going to make it or he's not, right? I really like the odds, and I have already locked in over 1.5 rounds on that fight at minus 110.
Okay.
Yeah, just a standard big bet, right? Over 1.5 rounds. And look, Minifield will probably win. Minifield will probably win this fight. I'm just betting that he's not going to stop Ed Herman in the first half of the fight.
Okay. I like it.
I'm betting on Ed Herman, you know, to make it through this. And a lot of times the way that I craft my UFC bets, Ben, is I look at a fight and I go, what do I think the outcome is? And let's bet into that outcome. Is Alonzo Menafield going to win? Probably. But at minus 250, I don't really see the value there, you know?
Yeah.
Now, what's another outcome that I think will happen? Well, I don't think he's going to knock Ed Herman the fuck out in the first round and a half. I just don't. Yeah. And I like the odds of just basically straight up odds at minus 110 that Ed Herman's going to make it over 1.5 rounds. So that's one, the whole first round and 2 minutes and 30 seconds of the second round. The Magomedov fight or whatever it was a couple weeks ago, I bet the over.
Yeah.
And I missed. He submitted the guy 8 seconds too late.
Oh, son of a bitch.
So it's one full round and 2 minutes and 30 seconds into the next round.
I can totally see that happen, for sure.
I think Ed Herman will survive, and I like that minus 110 on that. The next fight that I see on the undercard that I really like is another. This is also going to be an underdog bet, and it's an underdog bet that I feel good about. And it's Angela Hill, whose grandparents are Betty and Barney Hill.
Wow,
20th centuries. Do you know who Betty and Barney Hill were?
I'm not 100% on that.
They were a couple. That's her grandparents, and they were allegedly abducted by aliens in the 1950s.
Is this a true story?
This is a very true story. Look up Betty and Barney Hill. That's Angela Hill's grandparents.
Betty and Barney, weren't that the Rubbles too?
No, that's the cartoon. We're talking about real shit. We're talking about real abductions right now.
Nice. Okay.
Talking about real abductions. Angela Hill's grandparents were Betty and Barney Hill, who were one of the biggest, most public UFO abduction stories of their time. It was also a little interesting for their time. They were an interracial couple, and that, so, you know, they probably got treated extra poorly given the time, and they went through an experience that they both recanted under hypnosis. They explained their lost time. It's one of the world's first legitimate UFO abduction stories in the 20th century. Her grandparents. She is a plus 120 underdog to Tisha. I believe Tisha's nickname is the Cookie Monster Torres.
That is correct. She is the Cookie Monster or Tiny Tornado. That is her name.
Somebody else is the Cookie Monster.
Yeah, somebody I know. I've seen the Cookie Monster. I don't know who that is, but she's Tiny Tornado.
Oh.
I guess given her stature of 5'1", 115.
Yes.
Yeah, that would probably be correct. But I'm looking at Angela Hill. She's working that Foxy Brown fro. Looks good. I like it. Her nickname
is... Oh, she's outstanding. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen her fight once. And yeah, she won the last fight. I believe she fought. That was the one I saw.
She has matured a lot. She, I got to listen to her on Rogan's podcast a couple times, and she has matured a good bit. Like, from, she's been fighting for a minute.
Yeah.
She was on one of those prior Ultimate Fighter series. Mm-hmm. Tisha Torres has been fighting longer than Angela Hill.
Jeez.
You know, I mean, so Tisha's actually the vet in this fight. And Angela's one of those ladies that, like, she seems really, really into it, really, really dedicated, and is like putting everything together, has like a very healthy life outside of training, you know? So I really, I like her at plus 120 to win this straight up. In fact, what's so funny is I would definitely think this is a full 3-round fight.
Mm-hmm.
That line is not even offered.
Yeah.
In the venue I'm operating in right now. So, it, you know, any thoughts on this one? Are you with me on Hill?
I'm with you on Hill just because I'm like looking over some of her stats here, and she looks like she's a pretty well-rounded fighter. I cannot say that I've seen Tisha Torres fight, but I do like Angela Hill a lot as just a pure well-rounded fighter, been in the game a while, so it should be an interesting fight. I mean, I'm looking at some of the, so it probably will go the distance based on these stats here too. I'm looking at win by KO 8% of the time for Tisha. Decision.
Yeah, Tisha's in no danger of knocking out Angela
knocking
Hill.
Out
or,
Angela
no,
Hill.
No.
Now, Angela Hill.
Angela's probably not going to knock Tisha out.
Right.
The tiny tornado is just a little bit too tiny. Which is why the over under rounds is not even fucking offered by my book.
Right. Okay? Yeah. They
like,
both
they're like, showed, no. We're not letting you bet 1,000 to win 100. Fuck
yeah. Yeah. We would. All right. So I do have that offered on mine, and over 2.5 rounds. So meaning they have basically have to go to distance.
Yeah, that's correct.
Minus 400.
-400. That feels like good value.
That feels like good value.
Yeah, you should minus put 400 down there to win 100.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what's running on mine. So yeah, I would probably lean towards that, considering that, you know, Torres wins by decision 83% of the time, and Hill wins 62% of the time by decision. So that's kind of a safe bet.
Yeah, from having watched a lot of these fights, I feel like it's a safe bet.
Yeah.
Ben, is
yeah.
there anything else on the undercard that you're excited about?
Nah. So I looked over a few of them, man. A lot of names I really don't recognize on the undercard. Yeah, I don't really have anybody else other than that Ed Herman fight. So I'm just kind of looking over mostly the main card. It's going to be some exciting ones on the main card. So you got me on the undercard that you're looking at?
Well, there's a Jessica Penny, Carolina Kowalkiewicz.
Yeah, that one.
And Jessica Penny is another one of these ladies. Trained for a bit earlier in her career, was, you know, made it to the UFC, had prominence, fought in fights on pay-per-views, and then kind of took a break for a spell. She had some issues with, I think, training, maybe some USADA issues as well. Mm-hmm. And now she's back after, you know, a long layoff. She's had one fight since her return, which she won in a decision, kind of beat a rising prospect unexpectedly. I really like the value on Jessica Penne, even money. Mm-hmm. Against Carolina, last name starts, maybe they used to call Joanna, Joanna Champion. This would be Carolina, not Champion.
It's
going to lose to Jessica Penne. That's all else that I have on the undercard. So like I said, Ed Herman and Minifield over 1.5 rounds is the absolute bet you have to do. I also very strongly lean into Angela Hill plus 120 over Tisha Torres. And getting into the main card, Ben, is there anything that jumps out to you on the main card other than the main event, which we're going to get to last?
Yeah.
You definitely want to throw some money down.
So I'm looking at there's two fights that have come up before the main event. Vicente Luque against Michael Chiesa. I'm very familiar with both of these fighters. Obviously, Michael Chiesa was on Ultimate Fighter.
Yep.
Quite some time ago. So he's been around a minute. And I've seen Vicente Luque fight, and he is a He's an animal, man. He is a freaking – he's a beast, man. I just don't think it's a good matchup stylistically for Chiesa. He's kind of coming to his own as far as his stand-up, but Vicente Luque is just an absolute animal. I like him to win this fight probably by knockout in the first two rounds if I had to lay some money on that. But I'm just going straight up. I'm going to take Vicente Luque just to win the fight. He's minus 120 where I got him. It's pretty much a coin flip. So
yeah,
he's next.
Yeah.
The other fights are
a lot of these main card fights are, except for the main event. A lot of them are basically coin flips.
Yes. He's for minus 120, and I really feel like he's going to dominate the fight. That's just my take on it. I'm going to probably lay my second biggest bet there on Luque to win.
Excellent. Excellent. You see, I call me a conspiracy theorist, but I believe that there is a bias that exists in the UFC judging when fights happen to go the distance. Okay. Yeah.
Agreed.
And it's almost like you're trying to figure out which guy do they believe in more? Which guy would they rather give the bigger push to? Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Chiesa is, man, I think he's in the analyst booth for them now. I believe I've seen him calling fights on ESPN.
He does. He does some of the after shows and stuff like that now.
Yeah. So it seems like not to use a pro wrestling term, it seems like they want to give Chiesa a push, I'll be honest with you. And you think Luque is going to win this fight in under a round and, under a round and a half? Look, under 2.5 rounds of this fight is plus 115. You're getting plus odds if you think this fight's going to end by either guy. Or the referee. That's why I also always like betting under fight rounds because you're really betting on three guys.
Right. Yep.
You're betting on a jumpy referee too.
Yeah.
Fighter one, fighter two, and the third man in the cage. You know. That also seems like a good value. Again, if your story of the fight, if you think the narrative on this fight is Luque beats Chiesa within two rounds or two and a half rounds, the under's sitting there at plus 115.
I can definitely see that. I can get on board with the under on that one for sure. I think Luque is going to impose his will on Chiesa. Stand-up-wise, it's not even really close. Luque is just a much better stand-up guy. Chiesa's come a long way, don't get me wrong, but Luque is just a way better stand-up guy than Chiesa is. Chiesa's a fantastic wrestler. He's a great grappler. But Vicente is in his own right too. So if it gets to the ground, I don't think there's an advantage there for Chiesa where he would normally have a huge advantage.
Right. He's a fantastic wrestler.
Yeah, great wrestler. But I think Luque just kills him in the stand-up. That's just my personal opinion on that one.
What else have you got on the main card?
So I've got the other fight, which is gonna be the Jose Aldo and Pedro Munhoz. So this one, I kind of did a little research on this one because I haven't seen Jose Aldo fight a whole lot, but apparently he's lost his last two out of three. So has Munhoz. So they both lost two out of their last three fights. Now, granted, they both fought some really good competition in those fights. I just like Jose Aldo in this fight because of his experience. Munhoz hasn't been around quite as long. I remember watching Aldo in the WEC, which if you know,
I feel like I've grown up with Jose Aldo.
Right. Exactly.
I feel like Jose Aldo. I remember when he was a kid, you know,
he was
20, not far after I was, and he was fighting young.
We're probably somewhere similar in age range. I would imagine.
I think so. And Jose Aldo, he opened up Cub Swanson's head so quickly in one of those fights and it was that flying knee to start the fight like 5 seconds in, just unbelievable. And Jose Aldo, that's what Jose Aldo made Conor McGregor's career when Conor knocked Jose Aldo.
He really did.
I really hate for that to be the narrative on Jose Aldo. I'll ride with you on this one.
Yep.
You know, I'll take Jose at the minus 120. I don't have a read on this fight. This will just be emotional We just burning, you know, we just buying fireworks, dude.
That's it. We're just hoping they go off.
We're just buying fireworks, bro. We're just burning money. Yeah.
Oh man, yes. Like I said, that one is one that I think is gonna be a fantastic fight. If you just generally like fights, that's gonna be a great fight. Like, I just think it's gonna be a great matchup stylistically. They're kind of the same person. You know, they both can do stuff on the feet. They both can get on. You know, they both can. They both can grapple. I mean, it should be a really interesting fight. I think you're right. If you leave it in the hands of the judges, they probably will lean towards Jose Aldo just because he's a name. You know, he's a name that everybody kind of knows. You know, he's just kind of one of those guys where you kind of root for him too. You know what I mean? Because he did, after he got knocked out by McGregor, he kind of went downhill for a little bit, but he's kind of come back up in the last few years. So I'm pulling for him a little bit, but I really feel like he's going to win the fight. I could see this one going the distance too. So I just like Jose Aldo on this one.
I'm with you. Okay. Is it main event time, or you want to talk about your dong song?
My what? My dong?
Your dong song.
Your dong song. I mean, dong he's song. Fighting. Your dong song. I don't know if it's song, your dong, or your dong song. Because on my UFC website, it's song, your dong.
Your dong song.
Your dong song. I think I'm just going to be laying money just on the name alone. I mean,
well, it's a coin flip. It's minus 115.
It is.
It's your dong, yeah. To clarify, your dong song is fighting Casey Kinney.
There you go.
I don't even know, honestly, right now, bro. I don't know what weight class they're in. I got to be honest, though.
I think they're small guys. I want to say they're like 125, 135 or something. I think they're small guys. I think they're like bantams or, let's see. They're bantam weights. Yeah, so they're 135. So
the next 3 hours of my life are brought to you by the LSU Ag Center. Pretty entertained by Yadong Song's name. It's time to talk about the main event of UFC 265. This was I'm a big fan of one of the fighters in this fight that you are. The main event of UFC 265 is going to be a 5-round heavyweight affair for the, it's like an interim belt,
because
Francis Ngannou, if you had listened to what Derek Lewis has to say, I like to listen to what Derek Lewis has to say.
Yes,
is scared to fight Derek Lewis.
I can't argue with him, man. And freaking knocked him out last time. So
he
does
not want to fight Derek Lewis.
No.
And I love Derek Lewis. If you're a listener to this podcast, you don't know anything about UFC, but you're a Saints fan. Derek Lewis is from New Orleans.
He's from the NOLA, bro.
He is from New Orleans. He is, his nickname is Derek the Black Beast Lewis. Black Beast. He fights and trains out of Houston now. He has the best Instagram. He has like a top 5 Instagram account in all of Instagram.
Yep.
And it's not even like UFC, or like he will post. It's always like within the confines of Tate. Like, it's never something crazy. He's got the best Instagram game of any pro athlete in any sport anywhere, Derek Lewis.
He is a fantastic follow on Instagram. Fantastic.
And he just reposts the funniest, craziest, like, animal videos, shit you never seen. It's outstanding.
Yeah.
He's fighting Ciryl Gane, right? Undefeated.
Yep.
Undefeated prospect. You know, look, Lewis has... he's got some losses in his career. I feel like he's another guy I've watched and kind of grown up with too.
Same.
Because he's been around since 2014 on the major circuit, you know.
Yep.
And he's a significant, significant underdog in this 5-round interim heavyweight title fight. Derek the Black Beast Lewis is plus 285 currently. It was plus 255 earlier in the week. People are dumping money on the undefeated number one contender, Gane. Gane is a minus 395 favorite over Derek Lewis.
Yikes.
This fight, the over-under 4.5 rounds.
Oh, got to be astronomical, I would imagine.
The over bet on 4.5 rounds, meaning this fight's going to go the full 5-round distance, is plus 155.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. Okay.
But follow me. The under 4.5 rounds is the prohibitive favorite at -195.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah.
Okay. That would make sense. Everything about the way that the bookies see this fight and everything about the way that the general betting public so far sees this fight, I disagree with. I think that this fight is going to go one of two ways. And remember earlier I was saying the Billy Gunn method is we're going to do smart bets to support the crazy bet. And we're going to set this up in a way that we can look at two different outcomes. And either way, we're protecting ourselves. I believe that this fight will either end with Cyril winning it in the distance by decision. And the lesser likely outcome, but more profitable outcome, is Derek Lewis winning it by knockout.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree. I really do. I don't see this going the distance. I would expect. I mean, everybody knows Derek Lewis is not the most conditioned guy in the UFC. He's definitely, you know, he gasses himself out at times. He's gotten better. He's better.
Fighting in Houston in front of a home crowd.
That's why I love Derek Lewis to win this fight, because he is fighting in front of his home crowd. There's going to be so much juice in that building for Derek Lewis. But I'm pretty sure Cyril Gane is a Canadian, right? So there's no rooting interest for Americans in that building for Cyril Gane. I mean, like, that's
he's French. Yeah.
He's French. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Even worse. Like, come on.
Derek Lewis, whenever you've got a guy with a heavyweight with this much one punch power, yeah. I mean, there's already value at Derek Lewis to win this fight at +285.
Absolutely.
Then you add in his one punch knockout ability that amplifies. That feels like an exploit. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If Cyril will stand directly in the wrong place for too long, he's a goner.
Yep.
So he's going to move, and he's going to move a lot. And like you said, Lewis may tire. Lewis may have conditioning. I don't think he'll have conditioning issues, but in your scenario, he does. That, to me, lends itself to more of a 5-round fight.
Okay. I can see your thought process there. I'm not totally against that. I just believe that if this does go in the later rounds, I think it's you're right. If he stands in front of Derek Lewis too long, or he gets kind of cute and tries to do one of the flying knees, or, you know, tries to do something that this might be a too big of a stage for him, man. He's only had 9 professional fights. 9. Derek Lewis has had 32. Derek Lewis has been in the UFC probably longer than Cyril Gane has been fighting professionally. If I had to guess, I don't really know, but I'm pretty sure he has. So, you know, I'd love Derek Lewis to just catch him. And that's what he does a lot of times when he wins. He just, the guy, like he fought a beautiful fight against Curtis Blaydes, his last fight, when he just basically kind of let Curtis Blaydes kind of blow himself out. And then but at that point, he caught him with an uppercut, man, just knocked him flat on his ass. And that's what I love about Derek Lewis, man. His fights are always exciting. You never can count him out. And you have him at +285 and +270. I mean, it's the value is there, because you can't tell me that Derek Lewis does not have a puncher's chance when clearly every fight he's been in, that's all he needs to win the fight. So that's why I'm all over Derek Lewis. I am definitely biased in this pick. So take with that what you will, but I do like Derek Lewis to knock him out. I just feel like it's going to happen.
I got Derek Lewis winning this fight at +285. That is my recommended bet of the week. And I think you should also, in conjunction with that bet, you should bet over 4.5 rounds at +155. Because even if my narrative of Derek Lewis winning this fight fails, the fight outcome that I see of the Frenchman defeating him, but defeating him via decision, you're still getting paid. You're still making money. So we'll see. It's going to be a great card. I look forward to it. UFC 265. Get at me on Twitter at Taking the Over if you want to tell us how bad our picks are, how good our picks are. I love it when people bet with us. I love it when people win with us. I hate it when people lose with us, but let's be honest, they don't lose with us that often. Next, Ben, is my favorite degenerate sports wagering thing in the world to do. And it's that time of year again. Big Brother's on the TV and the NFL preseason is underway. We're just a couple minutes away from the kickoff of the first NFL preseason game. The Cowboys are playing the Steelers in the Hall of Fame game, which is very exciting, but we won't talk about that on the show because it's about to happen. Although I do think you should take the Cowboys over 33, or the whole game total over 33, but it'll be too late and I'll be wrong. People love to hear me get things wrong. That's a freebie. That's a free wrong one.
So you're saying if I put, I'm looking at mine right now, it's 31 and a half.
So oh, you should go over 31 and a half.
Over 31 and a half.
We're, yeah, now before right you now. Do it, before you do it, let me give you some facts.
Okay, facts.
The under is 6-2 in the last 8 Hall of Fame games.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that I like my odds being better now. although right now, risking if I get it, go 100 to win 167, I'm gonna take that over on 31 and a half. I'm just gonna go ahead and lay that bet.
There you go. Now. Oh, look at you. This is so exciting.
There it is.
Makes me so happy to hear this.
So there it is. Yeah. So I'm excited, man. Like, so you know, I saw a post the other day. You know, from here until February sometime,
there's
gonna be football on TV. So
So coming up, our beloved Saints are gonna be in action.
Yes.
And they're playing, I think it's like 6 o'clock Saturday night.
That is correct.
Against the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Betting on preseason football is just fucking ridiculous.
It's insanity, bro.
It's stupid.
It's dumb.
You know what my rule is for preseason? You know what my system is, Ben?
Yeah.
My bet, the Billy Gunn betting system preseason football, preseason NFL.
Yep.
You bet on the better coach team.
There you go.
You bet on the better coach team. And I think it's always the smart thing to do. The Saints are getting 3 points against the Ravens.
Ugh, man.
Saints plus 3. Okay. That feels like disrespect.
Disrespect all over the place, man.
We're going to have a good first half of badass quarterback play. I hope we got two guys that go out there and both play really well.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to get those first team reps, man?
For this game, I don't know. They'll probably, whoever does it this game will be the one that doesn't do it next game.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah,
I don't know. Probably, I don't know. Because as they opened up training camp, they let Jameis start the first, or I'm sorry, Taysom start the first practice.
Yeah, yeah.
That made no sense. So, I do feel very confident in the Saints plus 3.
All right.
And the total on this game is 36 points. Hoo-wee. It's just hanging out right there, huh?
Yeah.
Don't you want to take it? Don't you want to take that over?
I don't know, bro.
36?
Dude,
Come on, man. Jameis is good for 321 of them points himself.
That's true. He could definitely throw some big sixes.
He's going to throw it to Tommy Lee Lewis.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Chris Hogan.
Oh, my God.
Or Dwayne Washington. No, wait. Nope, not Dwayne Washington.
Nope. You're thinking of what's his name?
Oh, it doesn't. I'm just – that we'll have a new set of names next week.
That's right. I mean, it really won't matter. Yeah. This is like the first preseason game is like, I mean, you really, what, the first team maybe sees one full squad. In the Saints case, it might be a little different.
There's only 3 preseason games now. So it impacts the strategy going in.
This is going to be a little different. But still,
They're going to play a little bit.
You'll probably see Lamar for like a couple series in this game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's a guy like Lamar who's already got the job, there's no sense in him playing much.
Right. You know, you might see him for maybe one or two series.
That's what I'm saying. The Saints getting 3, you know you're going to get one half of – that's why we made a joke out of it. But you're going to get one half of good football.
That's true. You will. Yeah, that's true. Because you'll have the Saints starters probably in for at least a quarter and a half, I would guess. Before you see the second teamers start coming in, there's so much uncertainty there, man. Like, there's the only certainty you have is on the offensive line for the Saints. You know who your starter is going to be with the exception of, I don't know, Sweezy's going to take over for Ruiz. But I mean, other than that, I mean, you've got your line set. You really don't know what you have at receiver. I mean, you have Kamara, obviously, but then you've also got some running back battles for probably the second team snaps with Freeman and why is his name escaping me? But yeah, you know, so you'll have a good bit of actual first team football. So yeah, I think that's a solid bet, man. Three points. Yeah, why not? It's just money.
It's like buying fireworks.
That's it, man.
Buy some fireworks. I feel very good about Saints plus three. We're betting on preseason football. It's been good. Right. It's this is low down disgusting as it gets. Washington football team is. And the good thing is, we got UFC the same night. So Saturday night's just going to be a gambling orgasm.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Washington football team versus the New England Patriots. The Patriots are getting 2 points here. Washington football team is the favorite. If we're following the Billy Gunn method of preseason football wagering, we're going to say that. I'm sorry, Belichick's a better coach than Riverboat Ron. So we take the better coach team and the 2 points, which we also just did in the Saints game. We took the better coach team and the 3 points. And we're going to make that individual bet too. Patriots plus 2 points.
If you say so, man, I'm going to go with you on that one. Just because if you go with that method, yeah, you got to go New England on that one, I would guess. So that's, yeah.
Now, if you want to get stupid, we should parlay this with the over-under on this game, because the under, I'm going to break my own rule here. I'm going to suggest an under. The Patriots and Washington football team score line is set at 35.
So we're going to take plus two on the and the under.
And the under.
Yeah, we're just.
Might you shouldn't parlay this. Just do this. Don't fucking do that. Don't parlay.
Don't do that.
But do bet them individually. Place two stupid bets instead of one stupid bet, please.
Yeah, let's just lay it to one.
You got a better chance of winning that way.
You definitely do. In this case, I mean, why don't we just tease it by 2 points, and take a point and a half, and take New England plus the point 3.5. I mean, if we're gonna do that, I mean, might as well. I mean, you got all of these preseason games typically end up being very low scoring, obviously, and very tight because, you know, you're playing, you know, threes against twos against twos, threes against threes. Oh, man, it's just madness.
It's sloppy. It's going to be sloppy.
It's always sloppy. It always is. But
the Buffalo Bills are 2-point favorites versus the Detroit Lions. Now, it has to be settling in to Lions fan out there in the wild that Jared Goff is your quarterback now. And he's not Matthew Stafford.
He is not.
And Matthew Stafford is now, you know, in LA where Jared Goff was. And LA won that trade by like every human being that has an opinion on that matter.
Terrible trade.
And then they hired crazy ass Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
From the Saints.
Yes.
Who's that guy feels like he's auditioning for a career already. He's already auditioning for his next job.
Yeah, he won't be in Detroit long, I don't guess.
I think he's ready to be an analyst. He's ready to be he's very wacky, you know, main network Sunday morning guy, correspondent, Dan Campbell. Not a fucking head football coach. He's trying to be a wacky – he's trying to take that dude that does all the voices job. That's what Dan Campbell's trying to do
in
Detroit.
Yeah, what's his face? Yeah. What's his – Frank Caliendo, yeah.
Frank Caliendo.
Yeah.
And the other guy that was a Marine, that's
Rob Riggle. Yeah,
he's trying to take Rob Riggle's job. Dan Campbell is. He's not coaching the Detroit Lions. He's trying Detroit. They're gonna lose. Buffalo Bills minus two is a gift, even in the preseason, even in Detroit. Got fucking Rob Riggle as our goddamn coach in Detroit.
Rob Riggle. Oh, man. Yeah, Detroit has, I mean, their roster is a fucking mess. So the chances, I mean, look, I don't know what's on their roster after their first team, but God, you would think, yeah, if you go by your method of head coaching, yeah, you would probably be all over the Bills. Actually have a decent roster top to bottom. I know a little bit more about them because they have some, you know, they've, you know, because they're worth watching, typically in a normal season. So I just got to be better than 2 points better than Detroit, you would think.
You would think. One more NFL preseason game coming up in the next, and it also meets the Billy Gunn system for NFL preseason degenerate betting, which is better coach team getting points. The Miami Dolphins are +3.5 versus the Chicago Bears in a fucking preseason football game.
How? How does that happen?
I don't know. That makes no sense to me.
That's craziness.
I mean, I just had to look again just to make sure I didn't fuck that up.
That's insane.
Miami +3.5.
Yeah, give me Miami all day, bro. All day.
They're +170 on the money line.
I see that. I'm looking at that right now. I'm like, ooh, do I push that button? Do I want to do that? Ugh.
I feel like we've talked you into two bets so far on the show that you've already placed in. I've already
laid one. It's over. Good. Like the game started. So yeah, I've definitely already laid one.
Which one was that again? That was the
Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. You got 31. 31 and a half. All
31
right.
and a half.
Beautiful.
It will most probably end 19-10, if I had to guess.
It's a fair production.
Yeah.
Miami +3.5.
I like it. My degenerate gambling side loves that.
We're betting on, dude. We're in real time placing preseason football game bets. This is the best. It's the best taking the over ever. Ben, that's all I've got for NFL preseason. Do you have any other anything else that we didn't get to? You want to talk about?
Man, as far as NFL preseason, I think my mind is already kind of gone. I've already placed too many bets as it is.
You're already in. Yeah,
I'm already in. I'm already in this shit, man. So I don't know. I don't know if I want to like burn any more of my money. I'm going to save it for UFC on Saturday. That's what I'm going to do.
Saturday's going to be so great. Yeah.
I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it. I'm super excited. I haven't been this excited for a main card, for a pay-per-view in a minute. I knew what was going to happen in the Poirier and McGregor. I had to watch it just because I like both those fighters. But this one, there's a little bit more intrigue in this card because there's just so many different, different fight, like quantum fights, which is awesome. But no, I'm done. I'm done with preseason, man. I can't do anymore.
Nice. Well, dude, I want to thank you for coming on, man. Spending some time talking a little UFC, placing some bets, talking a little NFL preseason. It's always, always a good show when you're around. And you're a dear, dear friend, and it's always good just to get to talk to you anyway. Any parting thoughts for us?
Man, I got nothing as far as parting thoughts go. Just glad that you have me on, man. I always enjoy it. I always enjoy talking with degenerate gambler like yourselves. So, yeah, man. May your bets be plentiful, I guess, or winnings. I don't know, something like that.
May your winners be good and your beats not be bad. I don't do the nursery rhyme shit.
Look, here's I'm looking at the live lines on so the line already moved on the over under went to 32.5. So that bodes well for me.
Yes, it does. I saw it at 33. I think you're very good at 31.5. Look, that's it, Ben. Say goodnight to all of the beautiful people listening out there in podcast land.
Good night, guys. Talk to you next time.
And as for me, that's it. Look, thank you for listening. We love you. Keep listening. Regular season football is coming up. Everybody's excited. It couldn't get better. Kitty's going to be making picks all day long on Twitter. Follow us at Taking the Over. That's it. Good night. Love you. Bye. With room to honor me here.